I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to Vet Voice, the Pet Pod. This is the podcast that's all about pets. I'm Dr. Zara Boland. I'm a clinical vet, a media consultant, and a self-confessed all-round animal lover. And each episode of the Pet Pod, I'm going to be joining with some of my veterinary friends and colleagues from across the whole pet healthcare industry, so that together we can offer you some handy tips and expert advice to help you keep your pet healthy and happy. Following on from our last episode, and with the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, I just wanted to give you a quick update because cats have been in the news a lot over the last week. So there seems to be a really, really minutely small portion of cats, that both domestic and potentially wild animal cats in zoos, that have tested very, very weakly positive for the coronavirus and are showing some very mild clinical symptoms of COVID-19. But I want to be very clear, there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that cats can transmit the coronavirus to people. It is still very much human-to-human community transmission across the world at the moment. So if you have an indoor cat that is used to staying indoors, keep them indoors. But if you're self-isolating and you have a cat that's normally an indoor and outdoor cat, we do not want you to keep your cat indoors if they're going to be stressed by it. If they're used to being outdoors, then we should still allow them to be outdoors, live their life as normally as possible, and just maintain good hand hygiene like we normally would. Ultimately, what we don't want to see is an increase in abandonment of cats for absolutely no good reason. Please, please do not be misguided by the fake news that is out there right now. Go to reputable websites and reputable sources for information, such as the British Veterinary Medical Association, the AVMA, and the CDC. So this episode, as promised, it's all about some of the most common first aid treatments that you can give to your pets while you're at home during this pandemic. The types of treatments that we'll be talking about are most often handled in vet surgeries by the excellent vet nursing staff. And so while I was planning this podcast, I thought, who better to ask to join me than my friend and former colleague, Lisa Neem. Now, Lisa is a UK registered senior veterinary nurse with over 20 years experience, and she's worked with every type of animal you can imagine, from hamsters to elephants. Lisa and I previously worked together in Kent, where we had a number of zoos and wildlife parks on the vet books, as well as working with DEFRA through the import and export, illegal import and export of animals through Dover docks. So there really isn't much that Lisa hasn't seen. However, dogs, cats, birds, and small furries are much more likely to be in your home. So this time around, we're going to be sticking with those. Lisa, thanks so much for joining me on Vet Voice, the Pet Pod. And now, not only are we in different geographic locations due to the current global COVID-19 pandemic, but I should also explain that you're currently in the middle of a sheep station in Western Australia.
Oh, hi. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I am in Western Australia, about an hour and a half outside of Perth, on a sheep station that runs about 3,000 sheep at the moment. And I do have two little potty calves in my garden shed as well, just to keep us busy, just on milk at the moment, bless them.
So a little bit different to the farming situation and the veterinary situation when we last worked together down in Kent, totally. I guess.
Yeah, not so many zoo parks and domestic animals anymore for me, but that only ended on New Year's Eve. That was my last shift. And then January the 26th, we moved out here. Our whole family.
Ah, Australia Day.
Yeah, and my little girl, my little three-year-old girl, and my partner and myself. So a bit of a lifestyle change, but yeah, it's the adventure we're going for now. So
Great. Well, we want to bring you back to your Kent days of last year, just for today, because we want to talk about some of the ways that we can help support our companion animal pets when they've fallen ill or suffered some form of injury at home or out on a walk. But first things first, as always, in any emergency situation, we should always contact the vet or the vet nurse.
Absolutely. Do not panic and contact your vet.
But there are some things that we can do as pet parents at home before we get to the phone, for example, to calm our pets. So shall we start by looking at a couple of the common situations where we might be able to help? So, for example, we're out walking our dog and suddenly we notice some blood on the pavement or he starts to limp. Or we have a cat and the sound of a cat fight is something that everybody knows the sound of. What should we do if we're in that instant situation where we can hear the cat screeching outside and we know there's just been a fight, or we've been on the road and our dog suddenly started limping and there's some blood?
So you've got your dog and you suddenly notice he's limping, he's lame, there's blood on the pavement. So initially you need to search your dog and check your dog over. Bring it back to the car, or you've got it home in your house, somewhere that is nice and calm and quiet, and obviously don't panic. Then you can assess your situation. So just run your hands over your dog, pick up, you know, each paw individually and just check it through. The likelihood is you've just cut a pad or the back of his foot, or hopefully a minimal cut.
Something simple.
Yeah, something simple you can try and treat at home. Reach for your first aid kit or something nice and clean. Even if you've got a tea towel that's nice and clean, you know, some gauze, You can put that onto the area where the blood is coming from, just to mop that up and sort of hold a bit of pressure. So then you can see what's going on to initially assess how bad the cut is.
And so if we've now applied some pressure to our dog's leg, we've located where it's bleeding from, we move away our tea towel or our gauze, what do we do now once we see where the blood is coming from?
So if you've held your gentle firm pressure for about 5 minutes and you've still got an ooze or a definite bleed coming through there, you want to make sure we can apply a dressing to that, because that's not going to stop unless you apply some constant pressure to it to help stop that bleed. So you can grab some clean gauze or, you know, again, your clean tea towel and put that back on and reach for a bandage if you have one in your house. Everybody should have a first aid kit at home of some sort.
Absolutely. But we're not talking a simple Band-Aid here, are we?
No, we don't want to just stick a little plaster or a Band-Aid over this. It's not going to hold, and it's definitely not going to stop your bleeding. So, if you can grab your first aid kit, and we're going to put some sort of bandage onto your pet's foot and leg. If you don't bandage high enough up, that's just going to fall straight off his toe. So wherever your cut is, you need to bandage below and above it. So we're going to start from the bottom. So we'll put some gauze or a bit of a non-sticky dressing, clean dressing, or even if you've cut a square of a clean tea towel, if you don't have a gauze or a wadding or anything to put on it. So put that on as a pressure, a bandage to start with, and then apply your bandage wrap on top of that. But start at the toes. So keep your toes within that bandage, because if you leave those toes poking out and you've bandaged a little bit too tight up the leg, you're going to stop some circulation to the toes. And we don't want to create any more problems than you've already got.
The last thing we want is a tourniquet, unless it's a very, very serious situation. Yes, good bandaging advice there. And also, as we mentioned earlier, the dreaded cat fight can lead to cat fight abscesses. What we should look out for there is just keeping an eye on your cat over the 24 to 48 hours that follow that fight, because what can easily happen is that the bacteria that are naturally present on teeth and claws, when you have a cat fight, even a play fight can actually result in cat fight abscesses, is that those teeth or claws puncture the skin, and then that bacteria gets trapped in underneath. And it's the bacteria that's under the skin that starts to multiply and create that abscess. So what we need to look for in cats that have been in a fight is just run your hands over the skin, and you're looking for, just generally when you're stroking or petting them, what you're looking for is an area of that might cause a little bit of maybe pain. The cat might flinch away, or you might actually see some swelling and warmth. And if you do find that in your cat, that is an indication, potential indication, that a cat fight abscess is forming. And most likely you're going to have to get that drained by your vet. What if we've got something a little more serious? What if we notice that there's some bone sticking through, if there might be a broken bone, or there's a really sudden and severe swelling, and it's very, very painful for our dog or indeed our cat? What do we do in that situation?
Well, immediately you ring your vet. You get your dog into obviously a quiet, comfortable room to calm it down. As long as your room is free from draft and loud noises, and shut the TV off, you know, dim the lights a little bit, but keep it nice and warm and as comfortable as possible. Just, you know, keeping it as calm as possible whilst you can get on the phone to the vet to explain what's going on. And then obviously we proceed from there as to whether we move the animal and put her into the back of the car and drive her to the vet, or the vet may be able to do a house call.
And I think that that's something important to say at this juncture, Lise, is that obviously something like a broken bone is very distressing, both for us as well as for our pets.
Sure.
And so we're going to be obviously upset and stressed, but we need to be cognizant and aware that our pets can pick up on that too. So it's even more important that we try and calm ourselves and stay calm while we're dealing with this situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the vet or the vet nurse, one of us will probably ask some basic questions in terms of vital signs. So there are some things that we can do as pet owners in helping our vets and our vet nurses understand exactly the status that our pet is in when we call up and we phone with them. And so maybe you can talk us through some of those vital signs that our vets and nurses might be asking us to look for in our pets.
Yeah, certainly. Obviously, you know, you want to make sure that you can relay as much information to your vet as possible, or the nurse that's on the other end of the phone asking the questions about the status of your dog. How is it breathing? Is it breathing shallow, or is it breathing fast and rapid and deep? Is it, you know, is it in distress? Then also, is its pulse rate really high? You can easily feel for that by putting your hand around the chest. You should be able to just feel around the region of the heart, the area. Just put your hand over the chest and you should feel whether the heart is racing or whether the pulse rate is dropping and it's a little bit slower.
And for some people, to make it easier, it's difficult in some dogs to know where that is. And it's just behind the left elbow, isn't it?
Sure. It's easier, obviously, if your dog is laying flat on the floor and you've got, you know, your left side up. If you place that left front leg against the body, just behind where the point of the elbow lies on the chest, you should be able to feel it and pick it up really easy just there.
And there's also the femoral pulse, isn't there?
Yeah, you can also slip your hand just inside the inner thigh, and you should, on a bigger dog, obviously it'll be a lot easier. You should be able to just with your fingertips be able to feel just along the ridge there, and you should be able to feel a pulse there.
Yeah, but always with extreme caution, particularly if your dog's in pain. And what about, we can look in their mouths if it's safe as well. And our gums can tell us a lot of things, can't they?
Yeah, obviously you can tell obviously a lot about the shock status of your dog. If it's obviously going into a shock state, if it's overheated or it's cooler, you know, lift the lip up. And if you can, look, check the colour of that lip and the gum there. If it's safe to do so, pull the tongue forward and help them breathe a little bit better, you know. And if you can touch the gum, if you push very lightly, you blanch the colour out, and then the colour should return within 1 to 2 seconds. And that would be a normal response.
And how quickly it returns to pink is what we want to know from a clinical purpose. Because if it takes a long time for that pink to return, then we have along with some pale gums, and if the heart rate's increased and the breathing is quite rapid or shallow, then they're good signs, clinical signs for us to know that your animal might be going into a state of shock. And it's very urgent that we need to see them pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
And on that point, when it comes to moving injured pets, there's some good tips that you can provide for us on how to move these injured pets as well, isn't there?
Yeah, sure. You know, if you've got a bigger dog, it's going to be quite heavy for you to lift. So if they're able to walk, then slowly move them or walk them before you can lift them up into the car. If they can't walk, then you can either sling them up by putting a towel underneath them, or roll them onto a blanket and have a couple of you lift them. Gently lift them into the back of the car there so you can get them to the vet. Cats, grab a towel because the claws will just come out if they're stressed at all. So wrap them. You can always grab the scruff of the back of the neck and just wrap them around, swaddle them up like a baby, and then use a cat carrier to transport them to the vet.
Yeah, we want to keep them safe and from preventing them from doing further injury to themselves. That's the purpose, as well as potentially injuring or biting us. So it's two-way. We want to keep our pets as secure as possible whilst we transport them without causing further damage, but also without us getting injured in the process too. Because they're going to be stressed, they're going to be frightened. But getting them to the vet will be key at that point, and you'll already have been on the phone and talked through this directly.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So that's really helpful to understand what to do in the case of our four-legged friends in terms of instant first aid before we get to the vet and broken bones. But what should we do if we come across a wild bird that we think has broken a wing, or in fact our own birds at home and we're worried that they might have broken a wing?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this happens quite a lot in practice when people call in and say, you know, you found a bird, or it's been hit by a car, or even your bird at home has been out flying in the house and has had a collision with the curtain rail or something. So, you know, swaddle it and contain it with a towel. And pop it in a suitable size box, which is nice and comfortable, but also relatively dark, enclosed, you know, and nice and quiet. So reduce all the stress and let the bird sort of settle down in there. And then obviously phone the vet and get it in as soon as possible for treatment.
Solid advice. So we're heading into summer over here in England, and heat stroke can be a real issue.
Heat stroke does happen quicker than you realise it. Yeah, it's a very real problem.
So what signs should we be looking for with heat stroke?
Okay, so a distressed dog, you know, can be breathing very heavily, panting very fast. You want to make sure you assess your dogs very often. If you're out and it's hot, or you've got them in the car, please don't leave them in the car at all. You know, if you're out on a walk with your dogs, stop regularly. Stop in the shade. Give them a bowl of water. Let them have breaks. Let them cool down. If they're looking agitated or distressed, or they're open mouth breathing, you know, they're standing there wide open mouth panting, that gives you a signal that they probably are overheating.
So if you're worried at all that your pet might be overheating, just check the mouth and check the gum color. And a good indication of potential urgency is if those gums look more red or purplish than a nice pale pink. But what if we actually have a dog that's let's say we have our dog has just suddenly collapsed with heat stroke. What can we do there and then while we're trying to call the vet?
So yeah, if you're out on a walk and it's a hot day and your dog's collapsed, drag it into the shade as quick as you can, or get it into a shaded area or somewhere that's a little bit more sheltered. Don't totally soak them or chuck them in a water trough, because you don't want to shock them.
No.
No, we want to try and cool them down as soon as we can, but not dramatically and quickly to shock them. You can wet the coat with some tepidly cool water and spritz them all over, to their coat, to their inner thighs, to any surfaces that you've got. If they're awake enough, give them a drink, but obviously not let them gulp.
No, that's a good point. Small quantities, because what we don't want is to have our dogs going from a situation of hyperthermia, overheating, into a sudden situation where they're gone into hypothermia. And so whilst it might be a natural reaction to reach for some ice or some really cold water and completely douse them, that's the last thing to do.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah. And obviously, if you can get them back to the car, put the fans on. Put your air conditioner on. Obviously, don't sit them right in front of the vents with the aircon, but you know, bring that temperature down. You know, nice and easy, nice and gradually. And phone your vet immediately and tell them that you're obviously on your way. But the things you can do before you get there is to help cool them down, to try to assist in any way.
Lisa, thanks. That's really solid advice. And I know that that kind of goes contrary to what we might expect that we should be doing. So I think it's an important one to talk about. And particularly for our little dogs that have the squashed up faces, the brachycephalic breeds, such as French bulldogs and pugs, they don't do so well when it comes to the hot weather. So we have to be very careful and watch them. keep a close eye when we're out walking and playing.
Definitely.
We shouldn't also forget our other pets. So a sign of heat stroke in cats can be open mouth breathing. It's never a particularly good sign if your cat starts to breathe with their mouth open, and we should definitely call the vet straight away. But equally, rabbits and other small animals that we might have housed outside, they can get very, very hot when it comes to the summer weather as well. So we need to be very conscious that we have appropriate shelter for them. They always need somewhere to be able to escape from the heat, and where they can relax in the cool with plenty of fresh cold water to drink.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it can affect all of our pets.
Yeah, I mean, think about where you position your hutches outside. If they're outside, maybe if we have a heat wave, bring them into your conservatory or the back of your shed, just somewhere where you've got extra shade. But obviously, make sure you've got adequate ventilation. And like you say, you want some cool air coming through there, so they don't get hot boxed, as you say.
No, that's right, Lisa. And I think it's important to remember that that particularly we mentioned conservatories. Most conservatories do have shade, but we're making sure that that we don't put an animal into a glass conservatory where the situation could be an awful lot worse. And even outside, cool shady trees are a really nice place to place your hutches and runs.
Absolutely, yeah.
So Lisa, we all know that accidents happen. Hot coffee gets knocked over, or our cat runs under our feet just as we're carrying a saucepan of boiling water. What can we do in the situation of burns and scalds straight away at home?
Straight away, obviously, you want to get them as cool as you can, fast, but in a controlled manner. So again, with your cat, you might want to stick a towel around it and then obviously run some cooler water over the top, just to get the heat out initially. But don't then cover them up with any other ointments and creams you think that might be good for the skin, because initially you want to get the heat out, then the vet will then need to assess the damage on the skin.
That's right. That's a really good point, because it could be instinctive for us to reach for the Savlon, but that's the absolute last thing to do. And remember always with burns or scalds to take your pet to the vet, because actually any burn, any hot liquid, even if you think it has caused no damage, can take a few days to develop under the fur that's covering your pet's skin. So always take them to the vet.
The vet may then, if want to shave the hair off when you get there, to assess the extent of the skin damage. But initially, if you can cool them down and get the heat out of them at home, it will go a long way to helping.
So one of the most common ones that we haven't yet talked about, Lisa, is vomiting and diarrhea. Really common situation. So sometimes vomiting and diarrhea can be due very simply to, I know in my case, my dog's a complete scavenger. Every time I take her out, no matter that she gets very well fed at home, she'll see something on the street that could be the mankiest, moldiest old crust of bread. She's gone, she swallowed it, and before I can even see what's happened.
Absolutely.
And that will always cause a stomach upset in her, but I know it's not a serious one. So how do we tell when it's serious when it comes to vomiting and diarrhea?
Well, sometimes, with vomiting and diarrhea, like you say, there can be a minor dietary indiscretion if you've got a scavenger or something around. So, one episode of diarrhea, or, a cat that's over-groomed and has coughed up a furball and vomited once, then, that's fine. But if you've got repeated bouts of vomiting and diarrhea, then you absolutely need to call the vet, because your pet is then going to get dehydrated and suffer the consequences there. It's just going to go downhill.
No, I think that's a good point, because obviously we can, as a pet owner, we can start to think, oh gosh, this is really serious. And it's almost impossible to tell as a pet owner whether it's serious or not, because there are so many different causes for vomiting and diarrhea.
Yeah.
But maybe as a guideline, we could say that if they're not keeping their food down for over 12 hours, if the vomiting or diarrhea persists for more than a full day, 24 hours, or if your pet's suddenly becoming much quieter and more lethargic than usual, if there's maybe a painful tummy.
Yeah, or even swollen, absolutely, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Or if we see blood. Blood can be quite common in stools. In any case, I think always if you've got concerns, we should just call up our vets and talk to them regardless.
No, they'd rather have an advice call than a very urgent call.
Absolutely. But sometimes vomiting and diarrhea can actually be caused by a poison or something toxic. And that can be very serious. And what do we do in that situation, Lisa?
Okay, so if you know what your pet's ingested, then please keep the packet, or, you know, so it could be a rat poison or even chocolate. That's the most common one we used to get coming through the door. You know, it's chocolate is a poisoning in dogs that happens very often. So you need to know what they've eaten and how much, really, if you can either gauge how much they've eaten, or you know there was one packet, two packets, you know, or on how much it weighs. You know, if you've got the ingredients to hand, when you call the vet, then at least you can tell the vet exactly what it is, what the contents is that they've eaten there. And then they can go about the right way to respond.
And I think quite often we can instantly think, oh my goodness, I need to make my pet sick. She's just eaten rat bait. I need to get it out. But that's absolutely not what we want to do. We shouldn't be trying to make our pet sick unless you're on the phone to your vet or you're using telemedicine and they're directly on the phone with you and guiding you through what to do. Because some of the common poisons like rat bait and slug bait and antifreeze can be very, very serious. And in fact, talking about some poisons, quite often I get asked, Lisa, and I'm sure you get asked more often again, is it possible for us to give paracetamol to our pets?
Absolutely, all the time. But no, please don't do that. You know, people ask us, oh, well, we just gave them half a paracetamol, because it was limping a little bit, and you think, oh, you know, the vet's advice would to be not to do that.
No, I absolutely right. If we look at it very clearly, one 250 milligram paracetamol tablet in a cat can actually be fatal. So in all circumstances, avoid human medication, no matter how tempted you might be. If there's a swelling, you want to give some ibuprofen, or you think they've got some pain, you want to give some paracetamol or aspirin. Under no circumstances give your pets human medication unless you're on the phone to your vet and they're specifically directing you to do something very specific to your case and your situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Lisa, I think we've gone through a lot of the first aid common situations that can occur, but is it worthwhile for us to have a first aid kit for our pets at home?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be fair, you probably don't need to have two separate first aid kits. In your general first aid kit in your house, you've probably got enough to cover most eventualities.
And I think that the key point there is always have two thermometers. You don't want to use the same thermometer for your pet.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Lisa, thanks so much for joining me on Vet Voice, the Pet Pod. And it's been an absolute pleasure to have you joining me today all the way from Western Australia.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's all for this episode, but please don't forget that nobody knows your pet like you do. So if you have any concerns or worries about their health at all, please make sure that you contact your own local veterinary practice. Now, next time, we're going to be talking all about animal behaviour. So to make sure that you receive the next episode, please do like and subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.